Hey there, it's Lars. Thanks for checking out the Lars Larson podcasting experience, and have a fantastic day. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a Wednesday, and this is honestly provocative talk for the United States of America. Glad to have you join the best conversation in talk journalism. And if you want to jump into that conversation, even if you're a naysayer, just dial me up at 866-A-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@larslarson.com. And the president was on the air just a couple of hours ago talking about how he still has not decided, because he still hasn't seen the deal that Congress has put together to head off a possible second government shutdown coming up this Saturday. I have a feeling Donald Trump is going to go ahead and sign that deal. He'll keep the government in operation. He gets the $1.3 billion chump change prize that Congress has decided to give him. But as I told you yesterday, I think there's a way of seeing this as a victory. Is it the $25 billion that we need to build America's wall between the United States and Mexico? No, it's not. But we already have wall under construction. The president is finding other sources of money. There's always a chance that Senator Ted Cruz's bill, you know, Ted Cruz of Texas, he's proposed that we take El Chapo's ill-gotten gains, all that cocaine money he made. El Chapo's heading for a life in prison, in a supermax prison, where he's not going to have any chance of getting out. Well, fine, we'll take all the money that he made on all that illegal drug dealing. We'll use that to pay for the wall. After all, it's a law enforcement purpose, isn't it? And it's directly directed to drug trafficking across the border. I think you could make that justification. In any case, welcome to the program, and welcome to our newest Lars affiliate, WCRS, the voice of Greenwood, in Greenwood, South Carolina. Glad to have you on board as well. We're adding affiliates all over this great country, and we have a lot to talk about. You know, the Democrats want a way to beat Donald Trump in the 2020 election. I don't think they've figured out how they're going to do it exactly. You know, they ran the last campaign, Hillary's campaign, based on a failed candidate in Hillary Clinton, and based on the idea that if you just hated on Donald Trump enough, that it was going to do the trick. It not only didn't do the trick, but many of the candidates 2 years ago who identified with Donald Trump, the candidate, won. And many of those who said, no, I'm a never-Trumper, well, they also became a never-office holder, too. So, one candidate's bright idea from the left side of the aisle is to give you a paycheck for doing nothing every month. We'll talk about that in a moment. You know, it's part of that Green New Deal. And we're also going to talk about a Democratic presidential candidate who's putting the idea forward as well. How would you like to get a check for $1,000 every month? And if you wonder, where's it coming from? Why, it's coming from all the other taxpayers in America. Fidel Castro's regime caused an influx of illegal immigration to the United States. And is socialism at the root of all that? It turns out the Democrats are willing to give the president some money for the border wall, but will the president sign the bill? My prediction is he will, and he will say, I'm not going to shut the government down a second time. We've been there, we've done that, and the Democrats will not budge. Now, I know that the Democrats are all running around patting themselves on the back right now saying, yeah, we denied the wall to him. What are they going to be telling their constituents come the summer of next year? When constituents start to stand up and ask some of those Democrat possibilities, the ones who want to be president, there's about a dozen of them right now. And I know there'll probably be a couple of dozen by the time we get to the summer of 2020. What are they going to say when honest Americans say to them, can you really say you care about border security if you're unwilling to build a wall? And when they give the answer, well, we're just going to do more of the stuff we've been doing for the last 30 years. Even somebody who has only a passing acquaintance with politics and with government is going to say, so you're proposing that we solve a crisis level problem by doing more of what we've been doing for the last 30 years? That's your idea of leadership? I don't think that's going to play too well with the voters. Anyway, let me tell you about this presidential candidate, yet another Democratic candidate, Andrew Yang, who's putting his money where his mouth is. He says he's going to give families $1,000 a month to promote his proposal for universal basic income, a recurring government-funded stipend for all American adults with no strings attached. Yeah, I want to see the fine print on that. CBS reports the 44-year-old New York City entrepreneur turned presidential hopeful will start handing out $1,000 of his personal fortune to one family in Iowa and one in New Hampshire. Those are the first two states on the presidential caucus and primary calendar. It's kind of chump change. A rich guy giving $2,000 a month away. So at the end of the year, he's forked over $24,000. He wants to do this every month to prove the efficacy of his so-called freedom dividend. A handful of countries, including India, Canada, and most recently Finland, have experimented with versions of what they call universal basic income, which is kind of like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez proposed the other day. You get paid whether you're willing to work or not. Preliminary calculations from Finland's national test show that it did not lead to gains in employment, but it did improve beneficiaries' health and well-being. Listen, I'm proud that I work hard for my paycheck, and I'll bet you work hard for your paycheck as well. If somebody came to you and said, I'm going to give you $1,000 a month for just sitting on your backside, do you think you'd want to take that? I understand we could all use a few more bucks in our pocket. And I would imagine that if 6 months or 8 months or a year into an experiment where somebody gave you an extra $1,000 a month, if they said, do you feel better off today than you did before you started getting the free paycheck, who's going to say no to that? On the other hand, is that a good national policy? Because the only place you could find the kind of money to hand everybody $1,000 a month for doing nothing is from the United States Treasury. And we're already trillions of dollars in debt. So, are the liberals getting a pass for some of their blackface problems? I was kidding my friend Joe Thomas in Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, that the antics of some of the Democrat office holders in Virginia are so embarrassing that West Virginia now wants to refer to itself as East Kentucky. I told that to my friend Joe Thomas, and he shot back that apparently Kentucky is in court right now contesting that. They don't want to be called East Kentucky. They don't want West Virginia to appropriate part of their name. But this really is crazy. NPR covered it this way. They're left-wing radio, partly funded with your tax dollars. While blackface has become decidedly less accepted over time, it has persisted in private spaces and in pop culture. Within the past few decades, celebrities, most of them liberals, have performed in blackface with few consequences. In 2000, Jimmy Kimmel did it as host of The Man Show. I remember him. I think Jimmy Kimmel's a nice guy, but was it appropriate to do that? He wore blackface to impersonate Carl Malone, who's actually a good conservative, and he's been on this show. In the skit, he mocked Malone's speech. Apparently no consequences, but if you're a politician, you could get in big trouble for that. You know, Valentine's Day, special holiday for me and for my wife, of course. But for as long as we've been together, I've always tried to give her flowers and sweets every February 14th. And that's why this year I'm turning to Shari's Berries to get her something really sweet to brighten her holiday. And you can never go wrong with their signature-dipped Valentine's strawberries. They're dipped in milk, dark, or white chocolatey goodness. I just had some last week. They're great for any discerning palate. She's going to fall in love with every bite. Topped with decadent toppings like chocolate chips and heart and glitter sprinkles, always fresh, always tasty, and always worth the wait. A perfect companion to a candlelit dinner. It's Valentine's made easy. Not to mention, they arrive fresh with 100% Shari's Berries guarantee. Valentine's Day tomorrow. Send her the Valentine's gift of her dreams at the price of your dreams, starting at just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Order right now. Make this Valentine's really special by adding a dozen red roses for $19.99 more. Shipped with your Shari's Berries at no extra charge. Go to berries.com, click on the mic, enter my name Lars at checkout. That's B-E-R-R-I-E-S, berries.com. Click on the mic and type in Lars. Order today from berries.com. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Wednesday night, and I'm always glad to welcome back my friend Mark Thiessen, who was at the time very skeptical of Donald Trump as a candidate. I know that his opinion hasn't changed. Well, you know, I understand that. That's okay. I think the guy gets things done, and I think he's probably going to do exactly what you suggested in your column. Not because it was in your column, The Washington Post. I don't think he has any.
Why not?
Why not? Because he doesn't like Jeff Bezos,
but he reads my columns.
Yeah, I know. I imagine he does because I want you to outline this.
I know because I get notes.
You do get notes. Wow.
I do get notes. I get I get notes from him every once in a while saying, commenting on my columns. Absolutely.
That's a high compliment. You can get past your, I didn't like you as a candidate stuff to appreciate the notes. I appreciate that you can do that too.
Absolutely. Of course. Look, I support him when he's right and I criticize him when he's wrong. I call balls and strikes and I want him to succeed.
It's John Roberts who calls balls and strikes and then occasionally throws a game to the other side just for the heck of it. Isn't that what Roberts does? He calls balls and strikes like an umpire until he decides we have to throw those into the opposing side just so they won't think that we're completely just constitutionalists on this.
I'm not getting in the middle of that. <one. laughs>
Okay, I thought maybe I could drag you there, but Mark, you are not persuaded.
Not at all.
I am very impressed, though, because outline for my audience how the president can use the power of something that actually came about during Obama, the sequester, and that is far more powerful than, and I agree with you, it'd be silly to shut the federal government down. Again, the Democrats are not afraid of it.
No, absolutely. Look, I mean, the irony is Barack Obama's going to end up giving Donald Trump his wall. I mean, look, there's a bill that was passed in 2011 that was signed by Barack Obama, passed by the Democratic Senate and negotiated by John Boehner in the Republican House, and called the Budget Control Act, which put spending caps. Created an automatic sequester that if Congress couldn't come to a budget agreement, then automatic spending cuts would kick in. And what's happened is every year since then, every 2 years, Congress passes a lifts the spending caps and spends additional money on top of the money in the Budget Control Act. Those caps are going to expire. The most recent set of caps are going to expire in December of this year. So Trump has no leverage right now because the Democrats are not afraid of a government shutdown. The deal that he's got is not going to get better after a second government shutdown. So what he should do is take this deal, and then 10 months from now, when he has the leverage of the sequester, use that to get the Democrats to give him the money that he wants for the wall. Because what will happen is in December, if he doesn't sign a bill into law, automatically $55 billion in domestic spending gets cut. And those are the Democrats came into office expecting to raise government spending on domestic priorities, not cut it. So are they really going to give up $55 billion in domestic spending in order to deny him a measly $5.7 billion for his wall? I don't think so. So that's where he has right now. They have all the leverage. In December, he has all the leverage. So take this deal and live to fight until December.
Do you think the Democrats are not looking forward? They're not forward thinking enough to say this is going to come to us. And even if the president doesn't come to this, his advisors will say, including Mark Thiessen, his chief advisor without portfolio, will say, you should start.